You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, Janet, could you briefly explain what was your study, microplastics in the food chain, about, and what are its key implications?
Yes, we were interested to understand, knowing microplastics being shown to have significant global distribution, we were uncertain as to their presence in our South Australian intertidal waters. We understood that they exist in the deep sea sediment and in surface waters of the Great Australian Bight, far off the coastline, but not exactly sure how they were in our nearshore environment. So we looked at microplastic presence in intertidal water, as well as the blue mussel from Ceduna all the way down to Robe.
And what's the importance of finding microplastics at such high concentrations as you did in waters which are much more shallow than, say, the Great Australian Bight?
So the interesting thing for us is obviously finding it in the water and then finding it in what's called a keystone species, so such as the blue mussel, which has such a pivotal role in the intertidal ecosystems as a filter feeder and connecting the part of the environment at the surface of the water to that at the bottom. It's really playing an integral role in the overall health of the intertidal ecosystem. And of course, it's in the human food chain. The blue mussel is a significant South Australian seafood industry. And of course, it's widely consumed worldwide.
So obviously, you know, we have a lot more human activity at that, you know, intertidal range. When you're discussing this type of thing, it is really that fear of those health implications that is really accentuated in your research. Is that correct?
That's the implication, of course. That wasn't the focus of our research. That's an area of this enormous study of microplastics that's obviously beginning to be focused on, and initial findings, I believe, indicating that microplastic presence in the human food chain can be associated with inflammatory and circulatory responses. We were most interested really in understanding their presence in South Australia and also our relationship to that and how likely it is we can amend our practices in order to prevent microplastic pollution. And so that we just found a significant relationship between the presence or the concentration of microplastics in the water in relationship to the coastal human population. So where population was highest, microplastic presence was highest, and conversely the opposite, which is a really fantastic thing to find, actually, because it means we here in South Australia, in our case, can do something about the microplastic pollution that we have found. And equally, we looked at plastic type using what's called Fourier transfer infrared technology, FTIR, and that indicated plastic types that are used in single-use disposable plastics, but also in clothing in the form of synthetic and semi-synthetic fibres.
And what sort of measures would you advocate for to help reduce the microplastics that are currently in the ocean?
Very good question. There are a number of things that immediately spring to mind. Filtration of any wastewater systems, then that would start at our washing machine. So there is a very helpful study that was conducted looking at the number of fibres released in one single wash of one single synthetic garment. And the figure is close to 2,000 fibres per wash for that single garment. And obviously, without the appropriate filtration on a washing machine, that goes down into the grey water system and ultimately out into the ocean in many cases, or if it's being recycled out onto our agricultural land. So if we can catch them before they're released, that would be fantastic at all those touch points. The removal of litter in our waterways, the preventing of being discarded in the first place, preferably the reduction, if not prevention, of it being used in the first place if it's a single use. And the fishing industry also is an interesting one. We didn't see significant relationship between the microplastics we found and the fishing activity. However, the fishing industry is known of course, do be related to microplastics in the water. And anyone who walks along a beach is familiar with seeing discarded or accidentally lost fishing equipment. So, you know, assisting our wonderful fishing industries to reduce those accidental or incidental losses in the ocean would make a significant difference.
You mentioned, you know, 2,000 of these particles exiting your washing machine potentially at a single time. Just for the sake of the listeners who perhaps don't have that prior knowledge of what a microplastic particle is, what does that look like? What does 2,000 of these little particles actually look like?
So a microplastic actually is defined as a piece of plastic and below 5 mil in size. So 5 millimeters is half a centimeter, all the way down to far less than what the human eye can see. So in the form of a fiber that might come off a piece of clothing, it could be a thread of 5 mil or less. Typically, we're talking about sizes that are very difficult for the human eye to see. And of course, the smaller they are, the more easily they are taken up by organisms, not only consumed through their digestive tract, but absorbed through their cell membrane. And of course, that's how they would behave in the human body, to absorb through our gut in those very small sizes. And they come in, I've just mentioned fibers, but they also can come in fragments. So you can picture a plastic bucket that might be used in fishing or playing at the beach, left under the sun. The UV exposure breaks down that plastic over time, and it can fragment into small pieces. And anything smaller than 5 mil is considered a microplastic, and they just get smaller and smaller. They don't actually biodegrade as an organic piece of leaf litter or vegetable matter would be consumed by microbes. They just get smaller and smaller and constantly stay in our environment.
You mentioned as well needing to collaborate with the fishing industry on this issue. Have you registered any concerns from the fishing industry regarding your research, given the fact that blue mussels are a keystone species and are also harvested for commercial purposes?
We haven't as yet made direct contact with the seafood industry. That, of course, is our intention with a very newly published paper. That's a key concern, that our findings are taken into context of the pollution that already is in our environment that's not related to the fishing industry. We're very aware that the South Australian or Australian fishing industries are very focused on sustainability, regulated quite stringently in all aspects of sustainability. And yet, obviously, new findings like this are really important, important for them to be considered, and where improvements can be made for those to be taken on board.
What do you think is the potential for your findings to be extrapolated to other environments? I mean, obviously, specifically, I'm talking about New Zealand. We love our mussels over here. We have a similar connection to the sea. Should New Zealanders have similar concerns for their saltwater environment as you do for that in South Australia?
That's a really good question. I think part of the answer might lie in how we, being at the southern tip of Australia and removed from really high population centres, we didn't quite expect to see the consistent level of microplastics that we did find. And so being what was assumed to be pristine waters, I'd say New Zealand too would possibly expect the same. But and therefore, in looking at your waters and how microplastics might be present and affecting them, it is most likely to have similar results, to yield similar results. And equally, human, you know, we were just talking about the fishing industry. That's one aspect. Each of us individually, as high plastic users as we are as modern humans, play a significant role in reducing this problem, in reducing synthetic clothing we wear, and reducing our consumption of all goods with plastic, containing plastic, and being really conscious of how we dispose of them and ensure they are circulated back into the system and not discarded into the environment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.